Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3. Isaiah, chapter 3. We'll read verses 14 through 17 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in this place today. Lord, this morning the altars were busy and full, and people having eternities changed, and their lives were being helped and fixed. And yet, Lord, we stand before you in need again. We are a needy people. We're a sinful people. Father, please fill our preacher with an extra endowment of your power tonight. Use him in a way to help purge our lives so that we could be more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We read just a moment ago from the book of Isaiah. I will read to you again two verses, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And Brother Matt, we're going to turn this on. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where it says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion." If you look back at me, let me explain. Here the Lord is talking about some people, talking about how they are haughty. That word haughty there would be equivalent to our word arrogant or full of pride. It says here that they are walking and they have stretched forth necks. In other words, they have their nose in the air. They're full of pride. They're snooty. Their neck is stretched as their nose is in the sky, looking down on others. It uses the word, they're walking and they're mincing when they walk. That word mincing there is talking about, it's a cocky type of a strut. When they walk, they've got a strut about them that is a strut of pride. It's a strut of arrogance. It uses the term here, wanton eyes. What that means is this: they have a deliberate, arrogant stare about them. Every once in a while I'll preach and there's somebody that won't even look at me when I preach. They just look away. They won't look at me when I preach. They just let it be known. I don't like this. And I'm going to let it be known by the way I handle my eyes. Now, these people here, God is, he's in the process of rebuking them. He even uses the words, they are guilty of tinkling feet. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, there's a little teaching that's going on here. This person, they're haughty, they're full of pride, their necks are stretched forth, their nose is in the air, they have a cocky strut when they walk, they have a look in their eyes that looks past what's truly pure, and they're just letting everybody know that look on their face and their countenance is that of pride. Now, the tinkling feet, that's actually talking about there's something down near their feet that's tinkling. It's talking about they have fetters on their feet. You see, these people are captive. They've got, you look on the upper part of them, they're cocky and they look like they've just got it all together. But you see, as they're walking, this tinkling of the feet is a picture of captivity. You see, this arrogance and this pride and this cockiness, they're not truly free people. They're not truly happy people. They're captive to their arrogance. They're captive to their pride. The Bible tells us here that the Lord said, therefore, I will smite them with scabs on their head. When I was a young preacher boy, I grew up in a town called Winchester, Indiana. A man in our church had gotten backslidden, and he'd become full of pride. He'd become very arrogant. I remember a few deacons tried to go by and visit him in his home and tried to talk some sense to him. But, well, I can remember him just virtually turning his face away and rolling his eyes. And there was an arrogance and a pride about him. And like in most cases, when somebody gets backslidden and they're full of pride, they do not see the error of their way. They don't see how much danger they're in. And all he could see was what he wanted to see. Our pastor, because I was kind of a young preacher boy in training in my latter teenage years, the pastor had received a call, and he told me, he said, "Jeff, so-and-so's been in a motorcycle wreck." It was this man, the arrogant, cocky, prideful man. Pastor said, "I want you to go out to the hospital, and I want you to visit him with me." Now, when we arrived at the hospital, my young heart wasn't quite ready to see what I was about to see. This man had been going 55 miles an hour on his motorcycle up a paved road, and he laid his bike on the side at 55 miles an hour. I forget how far they said that he rolled and tumbled. Actually, the word they used was slid. Now, you have to understand, this back before it was mandatory that you wore a helmet. He had a t-shirt on and a pair of blue jeans when he wrecked his motorcycle. And just like a carrot peeler would peel a carrot, that man's body at 55 miles an hour slid along that pavement. It peeled, first of all, the t-shirt, then it peeled off the shoes, then it peeled off the pants, then it peeled off his underclothes, and it peeled all of his clothes off, it peeled the skin. It peeled the hair off of his head, the eyebrows off of his head. It rubbed his nose all the way off of his face. It peeled every bit of skin off of his body. It was like a piece of meat. When we walked in, this man's body didn't have skin. They had taken a salve like a Vaseline, and they had put it all over his body because they had to figure out a way to keep everything where it's supposed to be, because there was no skin. I remember as this man began to heal up, when he began to heal, he was a walking scab. A scab. A crusty scab from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was a scab. And his infection, as it would in any accident like that, as different parts of his body would suffer from infection, and that scab would break open a little bit, the pus would leak out. It was nasty. It was as nasty as it could be. God here, in this scripture that we read just a moment ago, from Isaiah chapter 3, God here compares the wounds that pride brings into our lives. And he says, because of your haughtiness and your cockiness and your arrogance, God said, I will smite you with scabs all over your head. Now you say, Brother Owens, are we talking about physical scabs? Well, maybe not. I guess that is a possibility if you push God far enough. A physical discipline could be in order. But I'll tell you this, maybe to the unseen eye, we and our pride could cause God to put scabs on our spiritual body. God mentioned specifically scabs on the head. Because pride damages our thinking. Thus, scabs on the head are resulting from the wounds that pride bring our way. Are you internally covered with scabs? Are you all scabbed up because of your pride? Do you have a beautiful outside complexion, but inwardly you are overcome with crusty scabs? God says, the wounds that will come upon you, He said, I'll cover your head with scabs because of your pride and your arrogance. Oh, might we all, including this preacher, take heed to what is said in this building tonight. I call the sermon, scabs on your head. Scabs on your head. Let me say to you, first of all, covered with scabs. Are you covered with scabs because you seek the honor of men? John 5:44 says, How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Somehow, we get arrogant in life. We get this pride in our life and we want credit. We want credit for what we do. Folks, we better just thank God we're not in hell. We better just thank God we're not in hell. We don't have the right to go around seeking honor. We actually want publicly rewarded. We want honored by man instead of trusting God to bring honor our way when He deems it necessary. How many scabs do you have from seeking honor instead of letting God provide it? Because the Bible is talking about pride here. God said, because of your haughtiness, because of your strut, because of your cockiness, because of your arrogance, you are seeking to be honored of man. And God said, you let me do the honoring. When you need to be honored, God said, I'll do it. Until then, shut up, obey me, do what I say, and be satisfied with it. Why feel cheated? You ought to feel blessed just not to be in hell. But the Bible says that we can be covered with scabs. Hey, from what? From seeking the honor of men. God was correcting pride in Isaiah chapter 3. Secondly, we can be covered with scabs because we seek the praise of men. John chapter 12, verse number 43, the Bible says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Hey, do you choose to impress your peers to get their praise rather than obey God to get His praise? Hey, we better be real, real careful. We better be careful that praising or pleasing God is the most important thing to us. But here the Bible says there are those that will seek the praise of man instead of the praise of God. In other words, we will do what we must to get the praise of a man and we'll leave God out if we have to. We'll do what man wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do because we would like for somebody to like us. You listen to me, whether you're a young person or an old person, you ought to always obey God and you shouldn't disobey God in an effort to please somebody. There's some young people in our church, you're so caught up in pleasing your boyfriend or pleasing your girlfriend, you've turned your back on God. Better watch out. Scabs are on their way. They're on their way. Proverbs 27, verse number 2 says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Do you serve God so man will praise you? Is the only way that you're going to serve God is if man will praise you for doing so? Why, thank God for the army of people around here that help us to clean the property and take care of the ground. And you know something? They never get much praise, but they just keep on doing it. Thank God. There are some that would not lower themselves to such petty service for God because you don't get any praise out of it. Well, God will praise you for it. I say to you, let's be careful now. We can be covered with scabs because we seek the honor of men. We can be covered with scabs because we seek the praise of men. Thirdly, we can be covered with scabs because we let our assumed strength go to our heads. Notice I say assumed. Listen to this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse number 16, the Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. This is speaking of King Uzziah. King Uzziah got pretty good at what he was doing. King Uzziah had learned something about leadership. King Uzziah had learned some things, and he was thinking he was pretty strong. He was thinking he was pretty tough. He was thinking he had it together. He was thinking he knew everything. And the Bible says, when he was strong, he was lifted up to his destruction. Arrogance had gotten the best of him. The Bible says at that time, God smites King Uzziah with leprosy all over his head and he dies. Why? Because he had gotten so good at what he did, he began to take credit for what God was doing in his life instead of giving God credit for what God was doing in his life. You really think you're hot stuff? Your strength may produce your destruction. It's not just all about what you know, what you've accomplished, and where you've been. God's checking your heart. God wants to see if you're humble. God wants to know if you know you're nothing. God's not looking for somebody. God's looking for nobodies. God would rather use a nobody and teach them how to become somebody than to have a somebody that won't admit they're a nobody. Uzziah got full of pride. As a result of that pride, he got lifted up. And God said, I'll knock you down. That's all it took. Has your expertise gone to your head along with your scabs? Watch out now. Covered with scabs, the Bible says. Fourthly, not only can we find ourselves covered with scabs when we seek the honor of men, we seek the praise of men. Covered with scabs because our strengths go to our head, but we can be covered with scabs because we are impressed with the way we look. We are impressed with the way we look. And let me tell you something, folks, today our society is so vain. We are so physical. You just walk down the magazine aisle at any store and there's flesh and body parts hanging out everywhere and everybody's trying to, and everybody wants everybody to be impressed with the way they look. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says, For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. God is interested in your heart, not how much your hairdo costs. Better watch your vanity, Christianity. Because God said, you may be thinking you're a pretty cute person, but God said, you're covered with scabs on the inside because you are so impressed with the way you look. You young people, as you're growing up, you teenagers, as you're growing up, you young men, as you begin to notice that you have a bicep, I wouldn't spend too much time looking at it in the mirror and flexing it for the cheerleaders. God calls that pride. You think your body's hot, but it's nothing but hot snot. I'd be careful, girls, as you're growing up, as you begin to develop into a woman, that doesn't go to your head. You want to strut it around and show it to everybody because you're something and you're somebody. God said you better put in check your body and the carnality of your nature. You really think you're something because you're physical. God can put you down so fast, my friend. God can cover you with scabs as fast as He covered that man on the motorcycle. You better watch how arrogant you get with our God. He said, I'll cover you with scabs, buddy. I can humble you. I can scrape that beautiful skin right off your body. I can make it so I rub your nose in the pavement if I want to. Glamour girls, thinking that their beautiful hair and their beautiful clothes and their beautiful figure make them something. You're not real glamorous when you got pus coming out of the scabs of your arrogance. Pretty boys, well-coordinated clothes and slick cars and Hollywood hairstyles and sideburns, scab-covered muscle men. God's not impressed with that. Your physique means very little to God. I think you ought to take care of your body. And I think that you ought to be as healthy as you can be. But let me tell you something. Some of you pretty girls, some of you pretty boys, and you really think you're something because you've got everything coordinated just right. You've got pus coming out of you because you're covered in arrogant, prideful, carnal, fleshly scabs. Some of you young people, you say, Brother Owens, I don't have the fancy clothes. Brother Owens, I'm not all polished up like some of these other people. I'll tell you something. God's looking for a pure heart. That's what God is looking for. Hey, you don't have to have fancy clothes. You don't have to have fancy cars. You don't have to have a
take. You don't have to have fancy shoes for God to use you. Matter of fact, God doesn't usually use people like that. Why? They're covered with scabs. They're arrogant. They're full of pride. It's like, you need me. We don't need you, boy. You'll find out real quick we don't need you. But that ball team needs me. You'll find out how much that ball team needs you. Arrogant. Prideful. Physically impressed with themselves. Had a lady come to our church. She walked in. She showed about half her bosom because her top was so low. We were very patient. Finally, I told one of the ladies, I said, won't you pull her aside and see if you can help her? She's embarrassing herself. She got mad. She stormed out of this church. Well, I'm not going to have anybody tell me that I have to cover that up. Well, somebody told her. She wanted to show that off. Well, that's for nobody but your husband, ma'am. Not to be showing your body parts to anybody but your husband. It's not so beautiful anyway. Your bosom's covered with scabs because you want to show it off. You want to wrap it as tight as you can. You want to make sure somebody examines it. Covered with scabs. Impressed with our physical self. Human race is dirty. Should not try to be impressed with ourselves. God said, I'll cover you with scabs if you're not careful with your cockiness and your arrogance. Covered with scabs. Maybe covered with scabs because of your spiritual accomplishments. Because of spiritual accomplishments. A pride about spirituality. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse number 4, it says this. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. Let me tell you who this is talking about. God here is speaking to His children about passing over Jordan and entering into the promised land. And they got to saying, it is because our righteousness we get to possess this land. Do you see it? Got a strut to them. Because I'm so righteous. I get this. I'm so righteous. God said, you better watch your spiritual arrogance. You see, I get to talk about people running around half naked and some of you righteous people say amen. You better be careful. You better be careful if you don't let your righteousness go to your head. Because you're still a dirt ball. You're still scum of the earth. You're saved scum of the earth. But we get on comparing ourselves to the right person, and that is Jesus Christ. We ought to fall down in His presence and cry, holy, you have no right to lift up your head and say, I deserve this. Because I'm good, I've earned the right for this or that. I'd be real careful taking that argument to a holy God that told you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And when He's ready, He will lift you up. God owes me. God owes you nothing. God owes you nothing. God is not in debt to you. You're in debt to God. You owe God everything. Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church owes me. This church doesn't owe you anything. You say, well, I've tithed here for years. Yes, and that was God's money. The church owes me. No, you owe the church. You say, Martinsburg Christian Academy owes me. I hate to tell you this. You owe Martinsburg Christian Academy. You owe the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You better be careful of your arrogance. We get this idea, because I've done this or because I've done that, you owe me. My righteousness gives me the right to possess this. If it were not for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you would not have anything. You're just a little too impressed with your righteousness. Brother Owens, you owe me. Maybe I do, maybe I don't, but I'm going to make something real clear to you. We all owe God. We all owe God. Be careful developing the attitude that the bus ministry owes me something. I deserve to be a captain. I deserve to be in the choir. I deserve to work at Martinsburg Christian Academy. I deserve to be an usher. Buddy, you better stop and realize something. God can cover you with scabs. He can rub your nose off. You better stop and realize your righteousness has not earned you anything that God has to give you. You better just thank God anything that you get out of Him. And the music ministry owes me something. The fact that you get to sing God's praises is a blessing to you. The slightest way that we get to serve God, it is an honor. And God doesn't owe us anything. And that's exactly what He's talking about here. They said, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. No, because of God's mercy, you get to possess some victories in life. Covered with scabs. Scabs from head to toe. Scabs that bring forth pus and infection. You say, I don't see them on the outside. Believe me, they're on the inside. Covered with scabs. Number six, maybe covered with scabs because of our riches. We're speaking of arrogance and pride. Psalm 49, verse number 6, the Bible says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches is talking about pride, and people boast about how much they have. They think because they have more than someone else, that makes them special. They think because they're rich, maybe they deserve something special. Now, let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that have money, and they earned it. They worked hard for it, and I respect that. But I also know who gave them the air that they were sucking into their lungs while they were earning it. I also know that God can put kings up and put them down all in one breath. Oh, but you better be careful that you never become pride and boastful about your clothes. Let's not let our church become one of those churches where people compete in their clothing. Look at me, I got a $1,000 suit. Well, goody, goody for you. But God can strip that suit off of you and rub your nose in the pavement so fast you won't know what hit you. Your suit does not make you anything special to God. Say, you ought to see the home that I live in. Yeah, and I ought to see your mortgage payment and how far behind you are on it, too. Look at my home. I live with the rich people. Well, I live with the tattoo people out in Georgetown. Don't you let your clothes go to your head. Don't you let your home go to your head. Don't you let your money go to your head. Hey, if every time you give in the offering, you pull out a wad, you make sure everybody sees it, you may have a problem. Do you flash your tithing envelope in the eyes of people to make sure that they see where the comma is? Scabs, because we exalt and we brag and we boast about our riches. Pride in our clothes and pride about our house and pride about our money and pride about our cars. If you've got a nice car, thank God for it. But to think that makes you something special. Say, well, I'm a businessman and some of these other guys, they're just laborers. God doesn't care about that. Now, there are some churches that do. But this church does not. We're looking for people that are right with God. We're looking for people that are not experiencing an arrogance where they think that they deserve special privileges because they've got nice clothes and a nice home and money and a car and a business. Oh, look at their status in the community. Your status in the community means very little. Well, we have some people with status. We have people with money. Brother Bush is 100 air. But you better be careful because rich people's scabs are just as crusty as poor people's scabs. Nobody may know the arrogance inside you about your money or your stature or your house or your car. Thank God if you have a nice car. Keep it clean, take care of it. But I'd just be real careful trying to flaunt it. God picks up on those type of things. You see, God said to these people, He said, you're haughty. He said, you stretch forth your neck. You got your nose in the sky. You walk with a cocky strut. Your eyes are deliberately arrogant, but you're captive. He said, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cover your head with scabs. I will humble you. I'll make pus come out of your face, the cracks of the scab from which you created for yourself. He said, I'll do it because you seek the honor of men instead of the honor of God. I'll do it because you seek the praise of men instead of the praise of God. I'll do it because your assumed strength has gone to your head. I'll do it because you're impressed with the way you look. I'll do it because all your spiritual accomplishments. I'll do it because you're stuck on your riches and you think they make you superior. You know, there are some signs of people whose pride could cause them to be covered with scabs. Let me tell you a couple of signs. The Bible says a proud look will be on their face. Psalm chapter 10, verse number 4, it says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Scabby people roll their eyes and use proud body language during sermons like this. You wouldn't believe what I get to see. Nudges, roll the eyes. But the Bible says a proud look will be with those that are scabby on the inside. Secondly, they will demand to lead in the midst of their own rebellion. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 7, He ruleth by the power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Scabby people press for positions of leadership. Arrogant, proud people push for positions of leadership. In their rebellion, they still don't quite see it. And they're pushing to be exalted. Psalm 140, verse 8 says, grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked devices, lest they exalt themselves. Scabby people want to be exalted, and then when they are, they just make a mess of things. What are some of the signs of people that are scabbed up on the inside from their pride? They cause strife among God's people. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Say, what causes the contention in the church? Pride. Scabs. Scab-covered people can't get along with people. But they never notice that it's their fault. It's somebody else. Must have scabs over their eyes, huh? What's a sign of scabs, the pride of God's people? They're prone to temper and proud of it. Proverbs 21:24 says, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. He's proud of being hot-tempered. Scab-covered people usually don't control their rage. They're fast to lose it. The scabs of pride. The scabs of pride. You say, what's the result? But what's the result of these scabs? What's the result of this kind of pride? I'll tell you what the results are. A false perception of yourself. 1 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that people that are full of pride, they do not see themselves the way everybody else sees them. What's the result of somebody that's full of this kind of pride that's all scabbed up? A reprobate mind. You know that there is a danger if you get arrogant and prideful about even your righteousness that somehow you can end up with a reprobate mind? Have you not heard of someone that had risen to great heights for God but ended up being a reprobate in the end? What happened? They went to great heights with God, knew that they did, and let everybody know. God said, I'll put you down. What are the results? A prideful, scab-covered people. A false perception of their self. A reprobate mind, Romans 1, 28, 29, and 30. A defiled life. The Bible says theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Your pride will defile you. Mark chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Your pride will cause... Hey, do you realize that you could receive terrible treatment from God because of pride? If you don't believe it, turn to Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 and read it someday. The Bible says that God can place within you, God placed fears in your life because of your pride, Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says that God can cut your tongue off. It'd be a big job, but He could do it. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 3, and it talks about the cutting off of the tongue of the pride. It means nobody will listen to you. You're prideful, you're arrogant, people will stand and listen but not listen to a word you're saying. Why? Pride. The Bible says that pride and this tendency to be covered with scabs, we can become an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. It could lead you to your destruction, according to Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God could reward your pride. Luke chapter 1, 51. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Your pride could result in a shame that will come to you, Psalm 35, verse 26. You know, I think one of the most dangerous things about pride is this blindness that we experience, this scabbing effect that takes place on us, is that we think that the preaching is always for somebody else and not for us. Preach a sermon on pride and somebody's sitting there saying, I'm glad so-and-so's here listening to this. You say, I wonder who he's talking to. You've wondered all the way through, could it be you? Well, stop wondering. Pride, when the preacher preaches, blinds us to the fact that we're the one with the problem. Stand up here and preach Wednesday night after Wednesday night, sermon after sermon about what rock and roll music will do to you, and you go ahead and listen to it. Your pride somehow has convinced you it's okay for you. That's not me. Go ahead right now, young person. Turn me off. Go ahead, scab boy. Go ahead, young lady. Your heart is covered with scabs. Go ahead and say, it's not for you. Because one of the most dangerous things about being covered with scabs is you think that what's being preached about is for everybody else. And your country music goes as well for it. Your internet pornography. You think when I say that, nobody knows it's you. Well, God does. If you stumble onto it, fine. But why do you keep going back? Why do you have to flip the switch of your computer when your wife walks into the room? Hey, parents, you better listen to me. Your kids are in the pornography trash on the internet, and you let them do what they want to do. You're not even checking. You say, I don't know how to check. Shut the internet off. Shut it off. If you don't know how to control it, shut it off. That's not for you. Your kid would never look at it. Tell you what pride does to us. Pride makes us think that the preaching on sin is for everybody else. Is your heart scabbed over? Is your spirit bringing forth pus? And young people, I stand up here and I warn you. And I warn you, and I warn you. I preach to you. I love you. I preached 2 sermons in chapel to our teenagers and poured my heart out to them this year. Some of them wouldn't even look at me when I preach. They go on with their life just like it was before. Won't listen to a thing that this stupid old Baptist preacher has to say. Because your life's not going to be destroyed, is it, young man? Your life's not going to be destroyed, is it, young lady? Well, I'm warning you, the scabs are on their way. You're in trouble, buddy. Scabs. Covered with scabs. Bad friendships will scab up your life. I'll say it again. I've said it before. Probably the same people that ignore me as I said it the last time will ignore me this time because you're so scabbed up from all your pride. Sex outside of marriage is sin. It'll destroy you. I don't care who you are. You're not to have a physical relationship with anybody you're not married to. It is sin. It is wrong. So I'm big enough to take care of myself. Yeah, but you're not big enough to sin against God and get away with it. I'm talking about some of you adult ladies that are sleeping around. Well, we love each other. Then get married like the rest of us. You're going to be disappointed when your daughter comes up pregnant out of wedlock because she knows what mama's doing. You men, you have the right to one woman. And that's the one you're married to. If you're not married to her, keep your hands off of her. Say, well, we're going to divorce. So I got me this other chick. You're fornicating if you're sleeping with anybody you're not married to. My sin's not so bad. Your sin is bad as the rest of us. We're so sucked up into Hollywood. All the Hollywood whores and whoremongers. All the cursing, the immorality. Do you know sodomy is still sin? The sodomites are still the scum bucket of the world. God still looks down on it. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's a death style. And I don't care how much they put it on television. I don't care how much they laugh about it. I don't care how much they try to desensitize me and you. It's still sin. It's still sin. Oh, the evil of Hollywood. And we just suck it up like a vacuum cleaner sucks up dirt off the carpeting. We suck it down. You got scabs? And the backstabbing gossips, the two-faced scab-covered frauds? Your cigarettes, your booze, your filthy jokes? You're scabbing up. You say, well, I don't like it when you say that. Oh my, I wouldn't want to say anything you wouldn't like. I wasn't thinking about that. Some of you promised to keep the church standards, and you haven't. When I say this, if you're not scabbed over, it'll bother you and you just get right with God. I was a young man. I was running cross country. The coach said we were going to run some bleachers. I didn't really like to run bleachers, but I did like to run cross country. So, I had to run bleachers. We were running up and down the bleachers, up and down the bleachers. I got to goofing off. I slipped. I remember from all the way down where my ankle met my foot, I scraped myself up to the knee. I scraped all the skin off. I ended up going to the doctor, and it was such a white, it was a scrape, but you watch the skin just roll. And I hate it when that happens to me, not to you. It really bothers me when it happens to me. Boy, I mean, I was a mess the way I fell in between those bleachers. I mean, just skinned the whole front part of my leg. I've got a scar right now. Come by my office afterwards and I'll show it to you. Boy, I remember the doctor, he there wasn't much he could do with it. He couldn't stitch it. It wasn't like that. It wasn't a cut. One of the things started to heal up a little bit. I couldn't hardly walk. My whole leg was stiff. You know, you get a scab, they're really stiff. They're hard. You want to be careful not to break them open. I guess there's a certain amount of moisture they need, and if they get too crunchy, that's bad, and if they're too soft, they don't... You all know what I mean, don't you? My whole leg, from my ankle up to my knee, about 3 or 4 inches wrapped around my leg, I was just one great big scab. And I got infected. Now, they probably wouldn't do this today, but I'll tell you what they did to me. I went in, I'd seen Dr. Painter. Dr. Painter was like 115 years old. You know, he had solutions to man's problems that are not good for man. He said, Jeff, I'm going to have to get that infection out of there. I thought, okay. He said, I'm going to take that scab off. I said, that ain't okay. A wire brush. Hey, The bed in that doctor's office, I was laying over it. There are teeth marks in the wooden rail to this day from my masculine absorption of pain. I'm telling you, rah, I couldn't believe it. He scraped that thing. And he poured this stuff on it. I can't tell you what it was. I had an adjective that I put in there that I used to describe it. But he got the infection out. And it scabbed up and healed. Probably just every once in a while in a church, somebody needs to pull some scabs off. Pour some peroxide in there. And clean out the infection. See, sometimes the healing process is a bit painful. If you break your arm, they're going to have to set it. And that hurts. But it's usable again and it'll heal. If you cut yourself open, they may have to give you some stitches, but the stitches will help you to heal. If you get all scabbed up, they may have to rub that scab off. Rub it raw. So you can get the antibiotic of the Word of God in there. Do you do it to hurt? No, you do it to help. And tonight, I tried to tell you, you got some scabs. I don't know who, but you got some scabs. Let's rub them off. Let's get the peroxide of the Word of God in there. And let's clean them up.